I'm like Rain Man.
No. He wasn't Rain Man. Oh. Rain Man was Tom Cruise.
Oh, I'm like Tom Cruise.
You're not like Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're like Penelope Cruz. Except like Mr. Clean.
Okay. But the Mr. Clean version.
Right. Hello and welcome to episode 184 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with us, I blew it. I was getting my iPad and I blew it.
Why?
And with me, as always, is
Adam.
Yeah, also in
Vancouver.
You watched me blow it live in person.
But you said Vancouver.
Yeah, but I said with us, not with me.
Oh.
You're not with us, you're with me.
All right, sorry.
The house to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're podcasting and not even throwing a party.
That's right. It's a podcast party.
That's not a thing. I'm not cutting that out.
Do you think everybody, like a whole bunch of like, you know, I don't know, 38-year-olds get together and say, hey, it's podcast night. Mm-hmm. First on the agenda, Two Hosers.
Yes, they do. Yeah. I mean a listening party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We call that a podcast party.
Oh, I thought you meant where you do podcasts.
No. That's not a party.
No, that's not a party at all.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You listen. Yeah.
People get together, play Twister while listening to podcasts.
Yeah. They get their Two Hosers podcast party hats on.
I feel like that's probably not the truth.
I think, they might make some.
I think a lot of it is people listening by themselves.
Yeah, when people say, what are you listening to? Nothing.
That was the best part. Was last year, my first year on the baseball team. Been a while since a baseball story. But I hadn't played in a long time. Like the last when I left off, iPods had just been invented when I retired.
Right.
Okay, just to give you a little frame of reference. So I go to my first practice, and out in the field, all these dudes who had just come over from college and whatnot are out in the field, you know, shagging fly balls and running drills, and they've all got iPods on. Like listening to the rap music.
Right.
And I'm like, for me, it's weird. So I'm thinking, like, what if I brought my iPod and just listened to podcasts? Not as cool.
No.
Not as cool as these guys listening to 2 Chainz.
No, super nerdy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what do you got, Atridge? They don't call me that. They call me Canada. What do you got, Canada? I don't know. CBC Radio. Not as cool.
No, not cool.
So
wish you'd never told that story.
Not like that story. That's a cool story. Hey, tell that one again.
Yeah, can we have that one in the best of stories?
Yeah, that's a pretty short episode. Yeah, and you can listen to that at the party though.
Yeah, let's start a new podcast, World's Best Stories.
Yes. What's going on, Adam?
Nothing. End of my work week once again. End of my work week. Can't wait to podcast.
So you're living the dream.
Yeah. I work 4 days.
But it's summertime. Aren't you enjoying summer?
I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love summer. Are you enjoying it?
I love it. Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
I decided not to go to work every day.
Yeah, you're on holidays. You're living the dream.
I am living the dream.
Yeah.
Going to the beach a lot.
Yeah.
Well, once. Pool. Went to the pool today. That was good.
Great.
Yeah, I had a good time. That's it. Live the dream.
Okay.
All right.
Photos?
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did a slideshow. That was interesting.
That's not interesting.
Yeah, it's not interesting. Move along. I didn't shoot anything interesting.
I had some bad outings. I've not been this disappointed.
So you tried to shoot something interesting.
Well, I did shoot some. I shot a bunch of stuff between the last we spoke. But for whatever reason, the last couple days, or two of the shoots at least, we were happened to be out at around noon o'clock.
Okay.
And it's been, you know, the weather here has been fantastic.
Clear skies, yeah.
Not a cloud in sight.
25 degrees.
And a harsh, harsh sun, and blam, just terrible. Like, I've never gone out to event. Like, so one day we went to Stanley Park. I took the family to Stanley Park.
Beautiful place in Vancouver.
If you've never been to Vancouver, come just for Stanley Park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is awesome. Like, could you spend a day there, sun up to sundown, and do everything you wanted to do?
Maybe. Depends if you have kids or not.
Yeah, no kids. That's true. Yeah. If you have no kids, then hanging around the water park for 2 hours will be a bit creepy.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it's probably not on your list, your to-do list.
Yeah, keep it down to 90 minutes.
Yeah. Walk the seawall, maybe?
We walked the seawall. So that's what we did. We showed up, went to the totem poles first.
Yeah.
Because it's in my daughter's Goodnight Vancouver book.
Okay.
And so we went a couple spots that are actually in the book.
Right.
We actually brought the book.
Okay.
And took her picture with the book and in that spot.
Okay.
Which me and about nobody else thought was really cute.
Yeah, I was going to say super nerdy.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a sip out of my Disneyland mug here. That's yours. So you're right. That was nerdy. So anyways, we went out there, walked the seawall, watched the seaplanes take off
mm-hmm.
and land, which nowadays is like every, 30, 40 seconds. But we did that, hit the beach after. Went down to the beach, third beach, and went swimming around there. And then went and grabbed some sushi, had sushi on the beach. And that was our day. And it was great. We did a lot of stuff.
Okay.
All jammed into one. Oh, and the water park.
Okay.
That I mentioned. Yeah. Went to the water park for, about an hour and a half. And she ran around there. Loved that. I think of all of that, I think I have zero good photos.
Just because of the too bright, bad time of day, you either blow out the background or you can't see their face.
I hope that's what it is. There's just nothing that... Now, some of them were fine. I did post a couple of them on Facebook, and they were fine.
Open shade?
No, I didn't get... There wasn't... I mean, I guess you could find open shade in Stanley Park. Where else could you find it in that day? But still, it was the sun was that harsh that where we were, it was just none of that. And so... I've not been this disappointed in a long time.
And what did you bring gear-wise?
40D and with a 30 mil. Now, I forgot to bring my polarizer, which would have really helped out on this day, especially at the water park, and then the blue skies would have been better. It would have really helped me out. I just completely forgot. And so that would have been nice.
And so why not bring the 5D, like the 5D Classic with a 50 mil or an 85? Like, why wouldn't you bring it going to Stanley Park?
The Classic is sitting in Germany right now.
Oh, you didn't bring it with you.
No, I had to kind of pare everything down a little bit. And so, that's a different topic. But that would have been the camera I would have brought had I had it in my hands. But... So anyway, so I went and shot that day, was very disappointed. Like, really went through, probably took, 100 photos, 7,500, whatever, 120, and wanted to keep two of them just to prove that I was at the park that day.
Right.
So I was pretty disappointed in that. Next day, I followed that up by another horrible outing. Went to the water park met your kids there and your wife. Went to the water park here in Steveston.
What?
Yeah.
No, I knew.
And timing wise, we wanted to watch Germany play. And oh boy, did they play against Brazil.
Right.
And so that meant we had to go to the water park right at noon.
Okay.
So I think we met there at 11:45 and it was terrible. But I knew at the water park, I didn't want to get too close to the action. I wanted to stay back and just kind of, get long lens shots so my camera didn't get wet.
Right.
So I brought the 70 to 200 on the 5D Mark II.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't forget the polarizer. I can't use it on that lens.
Okay.
For some reason, the focus doesn't work anymore. The autofocus will not work.
When you put the polarizer on?
Yes. Okay. I don't know why, so uh-huh. I just don't touch it. I went out a couple times with it and thought, wow, these photos are terrible. And they're all out of focus, and that was why.
Okay.
So anyway, so I did that and again shot a whole bunch of pictures of, your kids and my kids and running around having a great time. And again, maybe 2 out of 100 are acceptable.
Salvageable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that good. So it was discouraging.
So is it something you're doing wrong, or is it something...
Shooting at noon.
Yeah.
Right now, this time of year, where we are at noon is awful. Like, the shadows are deep and not in good places. And it's just the contrast is so high that you're just impossible to get anything good.
You're making a case for high-speed sync and a flash. You would get more keepers, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's true. A lot more work when the kids are running around at the water park. Yeah. Very difficult to have that, because you're going to have to...
That's what your wife's for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think more I'm making the case of going at a later time in the
right.
day.
Right, you can do that. You could do that, too.
Yeah.
Except for your kids might have other ideas.
I think she would go to the water park anytime.
Right,
of day.
Right.
Yeah, she's into that. But since then, I had some better outings.
Okay.
So I'm not totally discouraged.
And just because of time of day, or did you do something else different?
No, time of day and situation. Situational. Went golfing, shot some golf photos, which I'm not going to bother sharing because they're pictures of golf.
Right.
Of me golfing. Sports Illustrated isn't, you know, banging down my door looking for those.
No.
But they are good because it's a very nice setting where we went. And so that was nicer.
Same thing, 30 mil, 40D.
That one I did. It was a guy's weekend, so I knew basically I'd probably, you know, lose the other. If I lost the camera, that would be the one I wouldn't mind losing.
Right.
So that was what I did there. Yeah, so that was about it. And then shot some today at the pool, but that's nothing.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the interesting part.
The end.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've never been this discouraged, and then two in a row.
But what's our takeaway? What did we learn from this? Don't shoot at 12? Is that the takeaway? Because that was a lot of chatter for don't shoot at 12.
Right.
Okay. I was hoping there was a nugget in there that was you're really going to extract some deep thinking sort of photography advice.
Pay parking. Amazon, first of all. They have interesting stories on Amazon.
Yeah, lots of them.
And so if you want to buy interesting stories... on Amazon, buy them through our site.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Not after this. No one's listening at this point.
No.
Everyone's
hungry. Buy some equipment to make your own podcast so you don't have to listen to this one.
Bam.
Is that a sales pitch?
After that spiel, yeah. Yeah. I have a whole story about how pay parking is dodgy at Stanley Park there. We're just going to skip
over. We don't need that
at this
one.
Point.
Yeah.
Photo challenge.
Yes.
Was wide.
This is where we're getting interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about yours.
Okay, well, first of all, you this was your idea.
Okay.
Because...
I got that lens.
You got the new lens.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at mine first out of the gate. I went lenses last night. I shot this last night.
Okay.
Why don't you go? You tell me what you see.
On your photo?
What do you think of this?
I see a guy who looks like he has the longest torso in history. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's probably your camera. You found this guy at Gary Point Park because I recognize the monument in the back of him. Mm-hmm. And that's a very tall monument. So from this perspective, your individual looks ginormous and taller than the monument. And it looks like you've set up your camera on a tripod with a timer, and he's supposed to be the guy that's taking this timer-related photo.
Not even close.
None of this is true.
First of all, I took this in Germany.
No.
With the 70 to 200.
No, you did not.
At noon. No, I didn't. I part of that is correct. That's his own camera, though.
Oh, it's his camera.
See, he was there taking pictures. I went down to Gary Point last night because you sort of your neck of the nape.
Yep.
And I thought, I'll take the picture here. And looked around, and I saw a couple of great shots that I wanted, and I wanted to get some people in them. And there weren't people in the area I wanted to do that. And so I ran back. I saw this guy photographing the sunset, and I just kind of walked up to him. He's right at the edge of the rocks, like where it drops off into the river or the ocean at that point. It's kind of where the ocean and river meet. And so I just quickly, while he was shooting, I just said, "Hey, can I take your picture while you shoot?" Ready to explain the rest of the story. And he was just like, "Yeah, cool. Okay." So there you go. So I got down on the rocks. I wanted this perspective looking up at him. And I wanted, you know, to have a lot of white space, in this case blue space, going upwards. And I knew it would be nice deep blue skies that would go in the gradient. The orange sunset would light his face up very nicely. and I wanted to include that monument as sort of a marker of where this was taken.
I should have looked closely, and I would have known it wasn't your camera because he's got a battery grip on there.
He does have a battery grip on there. And he also has the 16-35. His name's Joel, by the way. He's a very nice guy. So I talked to him a little bit after we shot this because the light was dropping. Like, I saw him taking the photos there, and I basically sprinted over there because the sun was just disappearing quickly. And so I got down nice and low and shot upwards. This is taken at 17 mils, as wide as it'll go. And you're right, with that angle, with that perspective, with that lens, that monument looks very, very tiny. He looks like a giant.
And that seems to have stretched him out.
Absolutely.
Or he's 800 feet tall.
Absolutely. Now, this is a situation where I did this on purpose.
Right.
I knew full well that using that wide angle on a person, I would have to do something that was looked very obvious that he was being stretched out so that it didn't look silly. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it looks silly, but you at least know that it's supposed to look like that.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not, the end.
Okay.
So do you like it?
I don't mind it. Like it would be a strong statement.
What do you not like about it?
That's the thing, is there's nothing that I really don't like either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of meh.
I don't like the monument.
Okay.
I like I said, I purposely put it in there to tie it into this specific location. I couldn't get it anywhere interesting because I would have got, for me to get it off to the right of the camera, it would have worked better to the right of the camera, perhaps.
Yeah, but, maybe, yeah.
But even then, because of the depth of field, everything's in focus, it would have looked like, if you don't know what it is, it just looks out of place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, I think it's a better photo. Not a great photo, who knows, but better without that element.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't initially think too much about the monument just because I thought you were just placing the photo. So it's like, all right, with the monument there, we know where this photo's taken, or I would know where this photo's mm-hmm. taken. But yeah, you're right. If it's just the blue background with just the guy and his camera distorted, I'd probably like the photo better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, I tried to get the moon in the shot. You can see it just above his camera where his cord is, where he's holding a shutter release cord.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize it until you said that. Yeah.
That's the moon.
Okay. I like the light on him. It's a sort of nice golden-y light.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Probably better as on a 200mm lens.
Yes.
Be a much better photo, much different photo.
Yes.
But that lighting would be great. And you wouldn't get as much of the sort of gradient blue sky. Like, I like how the sky goes off into the blue
mm-hmm.
with his orange face. But there you go.
Okay.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks.
Let's look at your masterpiece.
Yes.
Okay, I like yours.
So
I want to not like it.
Okay.
Just on principle.
You can not like it. This is straight out of the camera. I didn't do anything to it. This is 19 millimeters on the Takina lens that we were talking about last week. F8. The end. No, this is like they built this new bike trail, which I don't know if you've checked it out or not, in Richmond, kind of very close to where we are. And you can bike. Goes from Steveston all the way to Westminster Highway, which means nothing to anybody who's listening to this, but I don't know, what, 5K stretch, probably, something like that.
Sure.
And just right next to a main roadway, and I specifically looked for a spot where you couldn't tell mm-hmm. that there was a main road about, I don't know, 20 meters to the right of this photo. So there is, and you know, it goes off into the mountains, and I was kind of waiting. I was rollerblading with my camera, and I was just waiting for a biker to come by, and I didn't want them or their face to be in the shot, so I was waiting for someone to kind of pass by, and I waited for quite a while, and then finally someone rode past. I waited until they kind of disappeared off towards the edge of that roadway, and then I snapped a photo, and that's about it all. So I was just trying to, again, show the wide element of what this camera could do. So I kind of crouched down because I wanted the perspective of the road going kind of off into that bottom corner and then again stretching out to the middle of the frame. So I just thought it sort of, you know, directed your eye towards from the road towards the center of the frame, and you sort of, the mountains meet the trees, and I don't know. Again, not my forte taking these kind of pictures. So
you're looking north on this?
Yes.
Okay, so the street's off to the right?
Yes.
Now it makes sense to me. I'm trying to get my bearings on this.
Yes, it's right to the right of
if
those
you,
trees.
If you took those mountains out, this would not look unlike the where I was riding my bike in the Atlantic coast of France.
Okay.
So there you go. Good job on
that. Yes, yes. Just like that.
So that's an element that you were trying to add, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the one thing I noticed in this is, again, this is probably part of the lens, is that you can see in the top left there's a bit of vignetting started to happen even at f8.
Right.
So as you drop this down, you'll see more of that.
Good. I like it. I like. What time of day was this taken?
This is taken right in the middle of the day. So I want to say not quite noon, but I'm going to say about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon.
Nice.
Something
and
like
still
that.
Getting nice blue skies.
Yep.
Which is nice. And sometimes hard to do, but I mean that's great. Without shooting people in this, you're afforded that sort of luxury of balancing the exposure quite well without having to get shadows in the face and all that.
I think I want a shot, like I want this as a family photo, like if I could get it with, you know, everybody on their bikes or everybody on their rollerblades or something coming at it from this perspective. And there's only really one stretch of road where you can't see any of, and this is kind of, I think, between Granville and Westminster Highway, where you get this perspective. You can't see the houses to the left, you can't see the roadway to the right, and you get the mountains, the sky, the road, and in some patches there's some nice flowers along the sides as well. Mm-hmm. So because I like to rollerblade here, when I've gone here I keep thinking this is the stretch where I could really see a nice family photo. More than likely it'll be of someone else's family, but yeah. I will take a nice family photo for somebody here.
Yes.
at some point.
Great. Yeah.
So there you go.
And this was the new lens.
This is the new lens, yeah.
Did I ask what the focal length was?
You may have. I don't remember. I said 19 millimeters, I'm pretty sure. Okay. So this is 19 millimeters is the widest I can go.
So right out. Now that looks great. I mean,
and that's on the 6D, so that's 19 right. mils on the 6D.
Yeah, and so we don't see, I mean, it looks pretty straight. Like we don't see a lot of bending. That maybe that one tree, but trees bend as anyways.
Yeah, maybe the wind.
Ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be that. It looks good. Looks good to me.
All right.
Done. Moving on. This week's topic. Choosing your weapon.
Oh.
Oh, did you want something else?
I thought it was going to be why I'm awesome.
Oh, no. Book's already in on that one. We all know. Oh, no. We should mention, by the way, for next week's show, we're going to talk about what we just did tonight. Went down to the docks and had some ice cream.
Yes.
No,
we didn't.
We did the shootout tonight. The comparison shootout of the
17-40 that you have, Canon L lens,
right,
and the cheapy 19-35 Japanese knockoff lens that I have.
Correct.
Yeah.
Canon Japanese as well.
Oh, but I said knockoff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, so we compared the two lenses as we talked about last week, and we'll do that for next show because we just shot it today. We'll compare all those photos and get it prepped and talk about those results next week. But this week is about choosing your weapon. Now,
okay.
It's funny because you asked me, you know, when you went golfing, hey, what did you bring? When you went to Stanley Park, what did you bring? For a long time, I didn't know what to bring. So the idea, you know, generally you tend to do what? Overpack and bring everything.
Yes.
Which sometimes you have to do. So how do you choose what to bring on any given event? And by event, I mean outing with the family or wedding or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you think of what, first of all, what are you going to be doing, right? So in the case for me, I've got, I had three main lenses until I just recently acquired this fourth one. And so I kind of think I have a 50 mil, I have an 85, and I have a 70-200. So I think, how much do I want to carry? Because that's the first factor. Mm-hmm. If I, you know, don't mind carrying the 70-200, it gives me a lot of options, but it weighs a lot. So first of all, it's like, how much do I want to carry? If I'm going to Playland and I'm going to get on and off a bunch of rides, then I don't want to pack the 70-200 around for 8 hours. So that's my first thought is what am I going to be doing? And then from there, the 50 and the 85 relatively weigh the same size-wise. They're same. I can put them in the same little case. So that's no longer a consideration.
I back up from that point.
Okay.
Even before all that, I look at the event, the activity, whatever's happening.
Yeah.
and I decide what is the priority here. Is it a photo priority? Like, are we going to get good pictures down at Gary Point?
But your answer is that's always a no, unless you're doing professionally.
No, it's not always a no.
No, your wife would slap you if your priority was to get a good photo.
All the family things necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, but no, but I saw you. You know, you took the other day. You took your new lens down to Gary Point. You want to try it out?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a photo priority.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But there are, those things do come up, and so it may not be a professional photo shoot, but it might be a situation where you bring your family somewhere and you think, yeah, I want to get some nice photos, and while we're here, we'll throw rocks off the bridge or whatever it is.
Right.
You want to do. You know, so. Most times, more often than not, it's a fun priority.
Mm-hmm.
But is it photos or is it fun that you're having?
Okay. Yeah.
So to me, that dictates which camera I'm going to bring. So I start with the body. I don't worry about the lens just yet. That comes later. I start, okay, which body do I have? Now, I now have three. But right now, today, I actually have two. I told you one's in Germany.
Right.
So... For instance, today I'll look at my camera bodies and say, okay, which of the two do I want to take? The full frame 5D Mark II, that if I break it, I'm going to have to buy another one today because I make my living with it, video-wise especially. Or the 40D, which doesn't owe me anything, and if I break it or lose it, I won't be thrilled, but I won't be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to me, you know, and I get better pictures from the Mark II.
Yeah, and I think the difference for me is I have the 60 and then I have the crop sensor Canon T2i, and for me, they're both recreational cameras. One is a far better recreational camera, mm-hmm. and I don't make my living with it. I would be unthrilled if I wrecked either of them. Of course, one costs a lot more, so I would be more unhappy if I wrecked the 6D. But the reason I bought the 6D was to take good pictures, and so I don't sweat it too much. Like, you know, things like the beach, I'm not going to dunk it under the sand or try to basically play catch with it. But at the same time, I don't worry too much about taking that camera to the beach.
There you go.
So,
see, I do. I look at it like sand is the big one for me, especially if it's blowing around, which it does.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to get in there and damage, you know, my tool.
Yes.
But that I'm going to go ahead and feed my family with. But it sometimes you do want to take it.
Yeah.
You know? There is that. But I also think about theft. You know, am I going to a high theft area? Also, like my 40D with the 30mm lens doesn't look as good as the 5D. Now, it looks rather beat up. So thus, in my head, less likely to get, you know, ripped off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it might just be my perception of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't leave it in the car anywhere.
Yeah.
But just in general, like at Playland, okay, you know, it's probably not going to get walked off with.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not.
Less likely.
Yeah. The whole camera thing, and this is the way I think that a lot of people should look at it, and this is, I guess, kind of the way that I look at it, the 6D, is that I don't do photography for a living, but I've done enough paid photography to more than have paid for that camera. So I kind of feel the way you do about the 40D, and that it doesn't owe me anything anymore. Like that camera has paid for itself, and now it's basically a freebie for me to shoot around it as a toy.
So that's why you just leave it on the park bench.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm basically just hoping that somebody walks up with it, because then they can enjoy it as much as I have.
And
yeah.
For them, it's also a freebie.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody
You're
wins.
A good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a good
but
guy.
I think that's the way people should look at it, in that if they are dabbling in the array of photography that pays them something, is that just basically keep a mental tally of when that camera is paid for itself, and then I think you can be a little bit freer of where you take that and how you use it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then what I end up doing is I look at risk versus reward. And that's true of anything. Like, what is your return on investment? That's a good way to look at life. However, that's another topic, but risk versus reward. Now, you know, how likely is it to get stolen? Well, if it's pretty likely, but I'm going to get a great photo with it, then I don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if on the other hand, I know I'm going to get great photos with my 40D, then, and it's, you know, I don't care if it's going to get stolen, then boom, that's a no-brainer for me. So that's where I start. So once I have the camera set, now it comes down to lens. So 40D, almost 100% of the time, the 40D leaves the house with the 30 mil lens.
Mm-hmm.
That's my go-to walk around, smash tent pegs with camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't put too much thought into that, but sometimes I will go for a longer lens, shooting baseball or something like that. But most times it's that. But if I'm shooting with the 5D, and assuming I don't want to take everything, and I generally lately have been very good to limiting myself to one lens. I don't like to bring two lenses with me for most places.
And I agree. And most of the time, if I bring two, I recognize by now that I'm never changing that lens.
Right.
So it's just like, why do I even bother? So I've said that enough times that I agree. I just only take one.
Right. So that's what I end up doing. What I don't do is then buy an 18 to 300 and say, hey, I want to get everything with one lens. I don't do that because now you get nothing. We've talked about that on the show before. You get a lot of shots. So I don't want to do that. So I ask myself, what are the majority of my shots going to be? You know, what is the one shot that I want? If I'm going in, I have one shot in my head that I definitely want, I pick the lens for that shot.
Mm-hmm.
If I know I'm going to take a whole lot of other shots and that one's not as important, I will cater towards that shot. Maybe I want to get a lot of wide shots.
Right.
But if I'm going to go, for instance, go shoot baseball, I know I'm going to want a lot of close-ups. Because you know what is not good photography most of the times? Wide baseball shots.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in an awesome stadium and you want to show some great sunset coming over and stuff like that, most of the time you're going to shoot tight action because we know where everybody is. We don't need to see everything.
Right.
In that case, I'm going with one long lens. You know, and if there's a time that comes up, I needed the wide, well, it's a price you pay sometimes.
Yeah. I agree, and I think that for myself, most of the time I'm going to shoot the kids and the family doing something as opposed to the scenery, and so I can usually get some context even though I'm going to likely bring the 50 or the 85, and of those two, most of the time it's the 85. Mm-hmm. And for me, even on the crop sensor versus the full frame, I'm still probably, if we're outside and there's enough room, I'm still probably tending to take the 85. I just like how people look in that lens. So
absolutely, same. Yeah. We've talked about, I think, every episode for the
last
4 weeks. I feel the same way, and invariably you're gonna miss some shots.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have that, and I've gotten past it. The hard part is getting past that idea in your head that the 50 is gonna afford me more, and you know, like I can do. I'll shoot everything with the 50, and I'll just crop it in tight on the 85. Mm-hmm. Make it look like the 85. No, you won't.
Yeah, it doesn't look the same.
It doesn't look the same. So, again, if you can get past the fact that, you might lose four shots to get one great one, then you're set. And that took a while for me. You know, I still know people who do that and say, well, I'm going to travel with, you know, I'm on all my lenses. And I'm going to haul those all around Disneyland just in case I need a shot of this, shot of this, shot of this. And in the end, you lose.
Yeah.
It's too much to carry. So do you want to carry a bag and be responsible for it? Not just carry it. When you go to have lunch in Disneyland, what do you do with that bag? Just let it sit there?
Put it between your feet.
Have you ever had to fly with all your camera equipment?
Once.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like
it. By yourself?
I think I was with my family.
That's a little bit better, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I generally, when I fly, and this is a tip for any thieves who are going to follow me in the airports, I generally, my two carry-on bags are all my equipment. Because obviously I don't check those.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll kick, in one will be my laptop and iPad and stuff like that, and hard drives and all those things that I need for the editing side of it. My other bag is going to be my entire camera setup. Which I often need for pro jobs when I'm traveling.
Right.
And so, therefore, it never leaves my sight. You want to run to the bathroom at the airport? You got to haul all that stuff with you. You have to put it somewhere while you use the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
When you wash your hands, you have to find a place that doesn't have a giant puddle of water on the floor. You have to think of all these things when you're traveling. And it's annoying. So I would rather travel much, much lighter.
On that note, I'm in about a month's time going to shoot a wedding for my cousin in Ontario, which is a little ways from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things I was trying to think about was how much gear do I bring? Shooting a wedding, want to do it well, have certain things that I like to do. Don't want to bring everything I own with me to Ontario and worry about it for the 4 or 5 days where we're there.
Right.
So trying to decide what is absolutely crucial, what I can do without, how much lighting, blah, 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 do I bring with me? Maybe that's its own episode right there.
That's going to be an episode so right now.
Basically in, oh man, I'm trying to do the math. It's next month. Yeah.
Great. You and I will sit down with all your gear and we'll go through it. And that'll be the episode that everyone, again, turns off.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good.
But there'll be some good wedding shots, hopefully some good wedding shots to discuss on another future episode.
Absolutely.
Because they will give me freak carte blanche.
Carte blanche. Yeah. Blank page.
Yeah, they will give me whatever. They'll give me free reign to
In French, I think that is free reign.
To show all the photos in that. Like, yeah. I can't imagine there'll be any issue that way. So.
Great. We're all looking forward to that.
Yay!
So when now when you go to pick your one lens, let's say you've got your body, you're going to pick a lens. Do you take a zoom or a prime?
Prime.
I know you do, but what's the thought
prime.
Process? Why prime?
Smaller.
Okay, that's great. It is smaller, and it will probably easily fit in your top load zoom bag.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a bag, oftentimes I don't take a bag anymore. I don't want to be encumbered with a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take your camera out of your little bag, what do you do with the bag? Or if you want to walk around with your camera always ready, now you have to have your camera over one shoulder and then your empty bag on the other. And I feel like an idiot walking around with an empty bag on one side.
That's not what makes you an idiot.
No, I know. That's not what... Anyways, I don't like doing that.
Right.
And so consequently, I don't even take a bag anymore.
Okay.
So now I just end up losing lens caps all the time.
Yeah, I've had that problem too.
So that happens. So is it a zoom or a prime? Well, most times for me, it's also a prime.
Yeah.
What other possible benefit could there be to having a prime with you?
They usually open up a lot. You get a lot more stops of light.
Absolutely. By bringing that, now it likely means you don't need a flash.
Right.
Unless you're going to go shoot some lit stuff and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're just going to go and shoot snapshots at a party, or maybe that's the event you're going to, all of a sudden you don't need a flash. That's one less thing to carry and worry about.
Absolutely.
I can't stand... Like, how many times have you been, like, say, a wedding or something like that, and you have your flash on, and you're going to go eat dinner, where do you put your camera?
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I always end up having my bag between my feet. Yeah. I'll take the flash off and put it down because you know somebody is going to spill wine on your flash or knock it over or pick it up and make a joke like, I'll take some pictures. And they're not going to. They're just going to drop it. They've been drinking all day.
Yeah.
You know, so I hate that. You know, and so where does it go? So, boom, prime lens means you could open up usually to at least 1.8.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you're golden. You don't need to worry about that at all. Are you going to bring a flash? How many are you going to bring? Is it going to be off camera? What are you going to do with that? Those are the things you have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
99 times out of 100, I don't bring a flash now.
I say I'm more like 50 times out of 100.
So if you have 50-50 then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I yeah.
Okay. 1 out of 2, 25 out of 50.
Yeah, thanks for reducing it.
16 out of 32.
Reducing those fractions. I don't like being encumbered with it.
Right.
You know, now oftentimes I do pay the price, but if I know I can get that one good shot, I will throw away the rest of the ones that I probably could have got.
Right.
With
I like bringing it and, you know, pretending that I'm like, you know, super awesome guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
SAG.
Yeah.
I brought I only brought the one flash with me on the trip, the 580. It has not come out of the bag yet.
Wow.
So I just can't be bothered to shoot with it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, okay, I'll bring it out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll bring it out, do some high-speed sync.
Do you bring your triggers and everything?
Those I brought.
Yeah.
Because I knew I had some work to do, and I knew I could borrow some other off-camera flashes. Not from you.
I'm not going to lend you mine.
No, I have those already borrowed. but I do need to borrow your background.
Oh, yeah. This is how you're going
to
ask.
And your car. And P.S., I need somewhere to stay tonight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So there's that. So that's all the things that I put into I take into consideration when I'm going to leave the house.
Right.
Do you think of anything else besides wanting to go to sleep right now?
No.
No, you don't, nothing else pops into your mind.
So we got the lens, we got the flash, maybe filter?
Filter, okay. How do you decide on that? And what do you do with the filter if it's not on the lens?
I usually throw it in the bag because I am a bag guy. I usually will bring a bag.
Okay.
So the other things that I generally keep in the bag is like I have one of those tiny little white balance pop-up things. Mm-hmm. So I'll usually throw that in just in case. For both exposure and for white balance. And then usually I have two filters that I use. Usually one of them comes with me. One's just a straight polarizer and circular polarizer, which again fits both the 50 mil and the 85 mil lenses, which are the ones that are on my camera 90% of the time. And then I have the one that's the, whatever you call it, the graduated. It's basically two circular polarizers. And
the variable ND.
Yeah, the variable ND. Although I don't really know if it's ND or not. It's basically two polarizers. So.
Sure.
So I'll have one of those. So if I want to do a long exposure, then that comes with me. If I'm going to a waterfall or to the canyon or something.
So you always carry the ND with you?
Only if I'm going, I'm going somewhere that I might think of a long exposure, then I'll bring that. If I'm going somewhere where I'm going to be close to water, then I'll usually throw the polarizer in. I don't use the polarizer nearly enough, but I generally think to throw it in the bag. I never throw it on the lens first. I throw it in the bag, and then if I decide I'm going to use it, then I'll put it on the thread. So
lately, especially in this weather, use the polarizer often.
But the sky's already so blue. So what are you getting on top of that?
It is much bluer. Believe it or not.
Yeah, well, no, great. I recognize it is, but how much bluer does the sky need to be?
8 times.
Okay.
It should be blue. All right. Steel.
All right.
It's not just that. Like, I find that it tends to...
It cuts down reflection,
and it can sort of even out bad exposures, like bad high contrast situations a little bit. That's what I find. This may not be what it's intended for, but I find that it... Maybe it doesn't even do that. Maybe it distracts from your bad image by making other stuff really pop. Mm. But the clouds pop. The one thing is if there are any clouds, like little white clouds, they will pop out. I posted a picture last week on the Two Hosers Facebook. Just a real quick one. Two quick shots out of camera. One polarized, one not. And one, yeah, the sky's blue enough in one of them. But the other one, just the clouds just pop right out. And that's great. So I do recommend shooting with that nowadays. It's just a great time to be.
But what do you find about shooting people with the polarizer?
They just really stick out. I do love it. It does add a little bit of a color in my
yeah, that's what I find.
Yeah, in everyone's got a
suntan. Yeah, everyone's got a suntan.
Yeah, yeah. Which isn't bad. But you can always correct for that if you want a little bit, which sometimes I will do. I will color correct. Again, being colorblind, that's a horrible idea. But I will pull a little bit of orange out if that's the case. Like I want in the saturation and aperture, I'll pull that out a little bit. Okay, that's it. You're dialed in. You know what you're bringing. You know how to travel light. You know how to choose your weapon. The end.
Yay!
Next week's challenge.
Be more interesting.
Be more interesting. Yeah. Holy cow. No, I think one of the things I like the best about summer, in my mind anyway, is this sort of sense of, I didn't know how else to put it, so I just call it community. Like when you go places, people are just out and friendly, and not that they aren't in winter, but it's different. People are a little more bundled up, but now everyone's out having ice cream, doing that kind of stuff, and there's events happening. There's outdoor events that are happening.
Yeah.
So I want the photo challenge to be community.
Community.
For lack of a better word.
All right.
That's what it is. Adam.
Yes.
Where can people find your photos?
Two Hosers Facebook.
As always.
And I did post a few pictures from Canada Day as promised last time.
Yes, so. You did.
Yeah, people who don't check out Two Hosers Facebook that bother to listen to this podcast are doing themselves a disservice.
I agree.
Yeah.
Even if you don't use Facebook, I'm pretty sure you can access
our site. Yeah, you can just Google like Two Hosers Facebook and it pops right up. You don't even need to be a part of Facebook, but you can go on our page and look at whatever we post in that. Mm-hmm. So do that.
Just lurk.
Yeah.
Don't even sign up.
No. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who are kind of snobs and don't want to join Facebook. I've been that guy for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook now because of the show.
Right.
But I was that snob. But you could still lurk. Snobs can lurk. That's the t-shirts that we're making.
Yeah.
Snobs.
Let's not even bother with the Two Hosers t-shirts. Oh, that said, are there Two Hosers t-shirts available yet? Because you're wearing yours right now.
Yeah, I wore mine because, well, we, like I said, Adam and I went out and shot together tonight to go and do our, we went down to Steveston and shot our photos, for the wide angle ones.
Yes.
And I thought,
I was there.
I thought, oh man, we should totally both wear our Two Hoser shirts. So that'll be kind of funny. Like, hey, what are these guys doing? And then Adam just wore a green plain t-shirt.
You didn't communicate this want at the outset.
It was an obvious.
And implied. I've been wearing that shirt like every day, so mine was dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was like a branding thing.
I should get like four of those t-shirts, though.
We should get, well, the next round, we will get more. Now that we know they look good, we will actually get, because the first round was essentially just get a few to make sure they look good. Mm-hmm. It was a QC situation.
Mm-hmm.
Quality control.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if you know that. Yeah. You're not good at
abbreviations.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Not what it is.
Whatever. What
I
do they
forget
call?
It right now. Anachronisms.
Anachronisms.
Yeah. Like when you find your wristwatch in Ben Hur. You know. No. So, anyways, that's why we did that. Anyways, okay. My stuff. AlanAtridge.com. Two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links to everything you want. And that's it. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.